Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department is in studio with us. Usually joins us a couple times a month, keeps us all on top of various fraud and scams that are impacting the area. Eric, thanks for coming in once again.
Good to see you, Kelly.
Good to see you. And you want to touch on exploitation of elders.
Yeah, a little bit different tack today. We're not going to talk about anything really specific, like a specific scam, but elder exploitation is really a big issue all across the country, and I think bringing awareness to it will help, hopefully, mitigate some of the crimes and losses that we're seeing all across the country, but even here in Sheboygan. So Wisconsin does have a statute that addresses what elder abuse is, and basically in Wisconsin it applies to people age 60 or older that are subject to any type of the kinds of abuse. So whether it's physical, emotional, sexual abuse, neglect, self-neglect, or financial exploitation, which is obviously what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So every state is kind of different. Wisconsin has some definitions of what financial exploitation is, but just in general, it's illegally or improperly using an elder's funds, assets, or other property. So some examples could be taking money or property without permission, making withdrawals, like if someone has a son or daughter and they withdraw money from that person's account without permission, forging a signature on documents, forging an elder signature on documents, whether it's investment documents, whether it's real estate documents, benefit documents, anything like that, using their property without permission, so maybe using an ATM card that belongs to the elder without their permission, using it for like personal use instead of for the benefit of the elder.
Sure.
Those are really crimes of opportunity for people that typically take care of elderly people. And then you have the predatory kind of abuse, which is the scams and the frauds that we've talked about before, where people will prey upon the elderly for a variety of reasons that we'll talk about to try to get financial gain from that. So the reason why it's important, I think, to bring awareness to this is that oftentimes, the majority of times, I would say, these crimes go unreported. So really, it's hard to get a handle on how big of a problem it is. But when you look at the numbers, statistically, 85% of the perpetrators of these types of crimes are family members, and oftentimes it's the elder's child. So that's why I think a lot of these crimes go unreported.
Isn't that kind of a stunning number, 85%?
85%. And of that, I think it's the 60-some percent are the child. And then it goes down from there. Some might be a grandchild. Some might be a relative, sister, brother, something like that. But, you know, 85% are a family member. And of that, 60-some percent tend to be the person's child. So, and I think a lot of that comes from when you're caring for an elder, some children might feel like they're entitled to the assets. It's my inheritance or something like that.
Sure.
But it's really not. As long as that person is relying on those assets to survive and to live their life, you have to use those to their benefit. So, but that's where a lot of that comes from.
Wow.
You also have, you know, friends and neighbors, affinity groups like churches or other cultural organizations, healthcare providers, and other professionals. And then we talked about, too, they could also be exploited by strangers. So, the reasons why they're targeted is that older people tend to generally have sizable assets. They can be isolated or lonely sometimes, so that's where we see a lot of the scams, people preying on that we've talked
about.
They could be unfamiliar with financial matters. They could be reluctant to report the crime for a variety of reasons, whether it's embarrassment, whether it's a family member that's involved, things like that. And they also might have disabilities that make them dependent upon others. I've seen statistics that say about 5 million people over the age of 65 have dementia. And as people get older, that risk of dementia can really affect their cognitive abilities and abilities to make financial decisions, understand what's going on. We talked about getting an email with links in it. They might not have the ability to understand that, hey, this, if I click this link, it's opening myself up to, to possible threats. So
That's tough situation sometimes.
It really is. Yeah. And that's why the education and awareness, I think, is so important for people that if you have older parents or a neighbor that's a little bit older, or if you're a professional and you work with the elderly, it's important to understand what some of the warning signs are and what some of the reasons why people, to understand why people might not be so willing to report these types of crimes. You know, we talk about the impact that that has on society, and really financial crimes don't just affect financial matters, they also affect other issues surrounding that person. So statistically, you see declines in mental and physical health with people that are financially abused. They do have a tend to have a higher risk of dementia. increased financial loss. There's an estimate by the National Council on Aging that elder abuse, the money that is cost annually is over $36 billion. So it's a huge problem. And like I said, that number is based on best guesses. A lot of these crimes aren't reported, so that number could certainly be higher.
Probably is.
Probably is higher, right?
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
And then they're also 300% at higher risk for death, so, you know, statistically.
All right, you talked about some of the warning signs out there that folks should look out for. What are some of those, Eric?
So when you see someone making large cash withdrawals or making checks out to cash, that should be a warning sign, especially if it's not typical of what their spending would be. If they open up new accounts, especially if the new account has a joint account holder, if it's not just in their name, but any new accounts that are just suspiciously opened at doesn't seem like the right time. If their signature on checks looks different, I mean, that's obviously a sign of forgery, but if their signature starts to change or the pattern of the checks that they're issuing starts to change, that should be a warning sign.
Okay.
This is a big one. If someone new enters a picture and starts to isolate that person from family and friends, you see that a lot of times with caregivers or sometimes with family members, the estranged family members that suddenly come back into the picture when someone's health declines and that person has assets, all of a sudden you'll see a relative that shows up that hasn't been around and trying to position themselves for that financial gain. And then also if the elder suddenly becomes defensive about their finances, that should be another red flag to maybe have a conversation or dig a little bit deeper into what's going on.
All right. So if you find yourself in a situation where you know an elder is being abused, who do you call? Who should you get in touch with? How do you get this process moving?
So obviously you can contact law enforcement.
Right. I mean,
depending upon where you live, whatever your local law enforcement agency is, you can contact them. If you live in Sheboygan County, the Aging and Disability Resource Center in Sheboygan Falls is another great resource. Sometimes you hear people refer to Adult Protective Services as like a general term. That's what the ADRC is. They have people there that can help if you don't want to report it to law enforcement, if you're not sure that it's a crime or you're just concerned about someone. If you contact the ADRC, they can help you navigate those issues, answer some questions, maybe make a referral to law enforcement. And I have their telephone number if people wanted to write that down.
Okay.
It's the Aging and Disability Resource Center, and their telephone number is 467-4100. So 920-467-4100. And they're a great resource for all things related to elder abuse.
Heavy stuff, Eric.
And, yeah.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Very important, though.
Absolutely.
Yep. And like I said, we would just want to stress that the education and awareness is probably the most important part of this. Our goal is to reduce, if not prevent, these types of crimes and these types of things from happening. So if you have older parents, neighbors, anything like that, please have these conversations with them. Kind of be aware of these issues. If you're a professional working with elderly, obviously, be aware of these. We're going to be offering training for professionals that work with the elderly later this fall. It's going to be a victim-centered response to financial elder exploitation. So we'll have some more details in the upcoming weeks about dates and when that's going to be available. But we just want people to have these conversations with older parents or neighbors so that we can hopefully reduce or prevent these types of crimes.
All right. Good stuff.
Thanks,
Good stuff,
Kelly.
Eric. Thanks for coming in. A lot of informative stuff in this segment. So, yeah, and it's obviously you look at those numbers that you mentioned, $36 billion, which, again, it's probably higher than that.
It probably isn't with the aging. You know, the population is aging. I don't remember the specific statistics, but in the next 10 to 15 years, I think they're talking about a doubling in the population of over 65. So I think we might just see, and with technology, we might just see an increase in these. So it's good to talk about it now.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.